Samuel, 2 Samuel. We got past 1 Samuel. And as a matter of fact, here in just a bit, we'll jump back into 1 Samuel, give a little piece of explanation on something. But 2 Samuel chapter number 2. 2 Samuel chapter number 2. And this is a day that, for David, that we are expecting the day to come when David is looking to be crowned as the king of Israel. And we're going to call this lesson the crowning of a king. But there's a little bit of a nuanced situation in this, because David is going to be crowned, but he won't be the king of all Israel. There's some things that are going on in this story, and you'll see here as we get a little bit deeper. But look in chapter number 2 of 2 Samuel, chapter number 2, and verse number 1. And it said, "And it came to pass after this, that David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, Go up. And David said, Whither shall I go up? And he said, Unto Hebron. So David went up hither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite, and his men that were with him, did David bring up every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, that the men of Jabesh Gilead were they that buried Saul. And David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh Gilead, and said unto them, Blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye have showed this kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you, and I also will requite you this kindness, because you've done this thing. Now therefore let your hands be strengthened, and be ye valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them. But Abner, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim. And he made him king over Gilead, and over the Asherites, and over Jezreel, and over Ephraim, and over Benjamin, and over all Israel. Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and reigned 2 years. But the house of Judah followed David. And the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this evening. Thank you again for loving us and bringing us to this place. And I pray now that you would just bless us with it as we study the things that we look into. And I pray now, God, you just give us some wisdom, give us some insight, some instruction, and some help in the things that you'll show us tonight. Give us your blessings. And God, again, I pray, burden our heart for lost folks. Let us see them. Show us some in our daily walk, somebody we can talk to and encourage and bless and help in some way. And show them the wonderful grace of Jesus tonight. And again, we'll just simply thank you, praise you for it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want you to look at this. As I say, we're going to talk about David being crowned as a king. And just so you get an idea of this, I wanted to give you just a little bit of an explanation of what is going to happen, the areas that we're talking about. If you kept up with us there as we were reading, you got the kingdom of David, where David is the king of Judah. And if you'll look here on this map, you'll see there's a line and a different color. I don't know what that color looks like to you. Kind of looks gray. And the upper area is sort of a greenish color. And as you look at that, it is the dividing line between the two kingdoms. And now later on, and this is way later on, the kingdoms are going to be divided again. But right now, there is a division. And as I say, we'll get into the story and you'll see. But David and his men were down here in the southern part. If you remember, we talked about them being in Ziklag. And now they have moved to an area called Hebron, or Hebron, whichever way you want to say it. But they have moved to this area because that's where God told him to go. That's where the Lord sent him to. If you'll notice, this area begins about Jerusalem. And at that time, it's actually still called Jebus. And then Bethlehem is here, which we know all of that. We talk about in the Christmas story about Bethlehem of Judah, which is this whole area is called Judah. So you can see and understand there a little bit about the area. And then the northern part, if you will, of Israel, bigger piece of property, is the land that the son of Saul, Ish-bosheth, he is going to be crowned the king of that. But what I want you to notice is particularly this little land over here that's called Gilead. You see that Gilead over there on the other side, and it's on the other side of the Jordan River. And you'll see an area there that's sideways that says Gilead. So keep that in mind while we're reading all this and going through this. But, it just helps sometimes get a picture in your mind of what you're talking about and where all these areas are. So here we are with these areas in mind, and we begin to think and get into the story about, as I say, that a king is to be crowned. First of all, let's look at that, if you will, and let's talk about a coronation. A coronation. Now, the Bible tells us there in those first few verses, it said that David has inquired of the Lord, and the Lord tells him to go up, and he tells him, where to go and do all this. And when they get there, it says in verse 4, and the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. We're going to have a coronation. We're going to have somebody to be crowned as king. And let me just tell you this. Hey, it seems like as you begin to read the story and some of the particular people involved, that everybody knows that David should be the rightful king of the entire nation of Israel. Why? Because Samuel had anointed him in his younger years, and that's what Saul was fighting against, and everybody had word some way or another. They all began to know that David was the man. They saw David as he was the king's son-in-law. They saw David as he was the soldier that led the armies. They saw David as he had victory. They saw David as Saul tried to kill him. I mean, they saw every bit of that. And they realized that the Spirit of God was gone from Saul and that God had anointed David to be the king. Everybody knew that. But it just hasn't happened as of yet. And really, as I say, when you get into this part, you notice that you just get part of it, okay? We just get part of it. So let's look at that. First of all, notice the inquiry. It says, after it came to pass, after this, that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? David is saying, look, we're down here in Ziklag, and everything's burnt, and we don't have anything, and everything's in a mess, and, we're just, they've been lamenting and fasting and seeking God after the death of Saul. And, in that first chapter, we read about that great song that he wrote about Saul and Jonathan and the warriors of Israel that had died. I mean, all of that David had done in honor and memory of his friend Jonathan and of the kingship of Saul. And now he begins, I like the fact that David prays and asks God before he tries to make a move. Can I tell you, that's one of the best things any of us can do in our lives is pray and ask God. Before you make any kind of move, it's a good idea to ask God. Let me just tell you that. It's a good idea. And that's what he did. He asked the Lord, he said, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said, go up. Well, David said, let me just pray again. Whither shall I go up? And he said, I want you to go up to Hebron. I want you to go up. And we looked on the map and I showed you where that was. That was above Ziklag, and it was before you got to Jerusalem in that area. There he was in a place where God sent him. Thank God, can I tell you, go where God sends you. Wherever he sent. Listen to him and go where God sends you. Amen? So he goes up. And it said, so David went up hither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite. I mean, everybody took their wives and their families and their everything with them. I mean, there they were. Man, they had the victory over the Amalekites, and they had their stuff back, and they had their family back, and here they all go up to this city of Hebron. Now, if you think about that, I was reading something here that said, okay, you got 600 guys, 600 men, and you've got their wives, and I'm assuming most of them were not like David. They were just married to one woman, but David had two. And all these other folks come up here. If every man had a wife, that's 1,200. And if they had kids, I mean, you're talking about 1,500 to 2,000 people moving into an area. And, hey, that town just got an upgrade. Amen? I mean, they just got a population moving. And Hebron at that time was just a small rural area. And now here comes an extra couple of thousand people comes rolling in the city gate. So those people began to spread out the way the Bible describes this. It says that David came up with him and every man with his household, and they dwell in the cities of Hebron. So they're round about the villages so that they could be there. If David needed them, he could call them. So here's what happened. You see then that it says, and the men of Judah came, in verse number 4, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. They anointed David to be the king over the house of Judah. Thank God there was an installation of somebody to be the king. I mean, Saul was dead. Saul was out of the picture. And as I said, everybody knew David should be king. Now, we're not really told this, but I would think and even dare to say this, that the word of all this probably went throughout that whole area that you saw before, the green and the other colored area. I mean, it was spread far and broad and wide. And they said, we're going to crown David as the king. And you know what? Everybody didn't show up. What are you saying? Well, I'm saying this right here. I'm saying there was an incompleteness that came in this story. Something happened. Well, what was it, preacher? Well, the Bible tells us here that, sure, they had done that. But look what it says in verse number 8, and we'll get ahead to this in just a bit. But Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of Saul's host, took Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, brought him over to Mahanaim, and made him king over Gilead. Over the upper portion. And it says on down through there, you know, over all Israel. So you've got two kings. This thing is not complete. Can I tell you, that's not a good thing when a nation stands divided. You're going to have some problems. You're going to have some issues. As a matter of fact, that's what is going to happen because they've got a division within themselves. And their brethren, I mean, if you go back and read and you'll see they talk about how, you know, that Israel is supposed to be as one. Israel is blessed of God. Israel is chosen of God. And brother, let me tell you something. Today, if we can't get together, we got problems. Amen? We got problems. So that's what happened. There's an incompleteness that comes to this whole story. And let me ask you this. I mean, just look at it. Again, we don't know. But it looks like, was this a civil war? Could have been. I mean, why was there a separation? Why did this thing happen? And as I say, here in just a bit, we're going to look at it and see what does happen and why. But there's an incomplete story here. There's an incomplete national recognition for the kingship of David. So you got a problem, okay? But second of all, I want you to see this. First of all, you saw it coronation. Second of all, let's look at an appreciation. An appreciation in this story that is a real blessing to all of us. I want you to notice, first of all, in this fact of an appreciation, listen to what it says. In the latter part of verse number 4, it said, and they, it's talking about the men that came and anointed David, and they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. And David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said unto them, Blessed be ye of the Lord that ye have showed this kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you, and I also will requite you this kindness because you've done this thing. Therefore now let your hands be strengthened and be ye valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them. So David is talking to these folks, and first of all, you notice the approving message that David sent. David said, I want to tell you guys something. Praise God for what y'all done. Praise the Lord. We really didn't spend too much time on it, but if you look in 1 Samuel, in the very last chapter, chapter number 31, Saul has died. You remember we talked a little bit about that last week when that young man came and told his story today. But Saul is dead, and after Saul dies, you remember the whole thing? Saul is like, man, he's asking somebody. He asked his little armor bearer, run me through with a spear. I don't want these guys, these bunch of Philistines, to get a hold of me because I know that ain't going to be good if they do. So you know the story that we have in chapter 31. Saul kills himself. He commits suicide. He's dead. And if you notice there in verse number 8 of chapter 31, 1 Samuel, it said, it came to pass on the morrow, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. And they cut off his head and stripped off his armor and sent it to the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Beth-shan. I mean, as I told you, you don't want to become a trophy in the devil's house. But that's what Saul had become. And I'm telling you, if your life, and you get in a mess like he did, your life can wind up like him. And your whatever can wind up as a trophy being shown to all the others, especially the devils, and saying, boy, look. He used to think he was something for God. He used to claim God. He used to be, and now, look at him. And I mean, isn't that a horrible way to have to die and all of the things that happened to him anyway? I mean, it's gross. It's sickening. It's ugly. I mean, it's a bad deal. I mean, can you imagine? It said they cut his head off and they sent it to the land of the Philistines round about to publish it. I mean, they sent it around like a trophy. You know, I think even when John the Baptist died, I believe the daughter of Herodias, I believe she did that same thing with the head of John the Baptist, took it to Herod and said, here's his head, and took it to her mama and said, look, we've done. And I mean, they just danced around and had a big time with it. That is sad stuff, y'all. That's sad, but that's what they did. And it said that they had taken his armor, and then they took his body, and they fastened it to a wall as a public disgrace, a public display before the people that hated God. I mean, that's what they were doing. And that's ugly. I mean, that's bad. But I want you to see this, verse number 11. And when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the body of his sons from the wall of Beth-shan, came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and they buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. And David heard of these men's courage. Now, it took some courage to go over and take that body off that wall. I mean, you had to go into enemy territory. You had to go in danger of your life. You had to go with your heart full of God and a mission to get that. I mean, buddy, they said, our king's not going to be dishonored. Our king's, this ain't going to happen to our king. So they sent a group of men and they went over. Aren't you glad the Bible tells you, it said, all the valiant men arose. They were sitting around and they were bewailing their fate. They were upset, and they said, "Look what's happened, and our army's been killed, and all of the soldiers that we had, a lot of them's gone, and I mean everything that we thought was of that, and our king has been desecrated and put out on the wall." And buddy, they said, one of them looked up and he said, "You know what, boys? We're gonna go get him tonight." And all of the valley, he said, "I need some men to go with me." And pretty soon one stood up and said, "I'm going, Captain." Another stood up and said, "I'm with you." Pretty soon there's a crowd up. They said, "Let's go get him." Amen. Aren't you glad of that? Praise God. I'm glad, boy. Can you think, hey, that was a disgrace in the face of God. So they said, "We're going to go get him." And so they do that. They go and they get, and David says to them, now David obviously didn't know any of this was happening. He's been out in the way, and you know, he didn't know what happened. But it said that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were those, they told him. They told David the story, kind of caught him up on everything. Verse number 4, and they told David that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were those that buried Saul. And David sent him a message and said, "I want you to know, blessed be ye of the Lord that you've showed this kindness unto your Lord." You'd say, "Well, man, he ought to be glad." No, he's not. His heart's broken. Saul was still the Lord's anointed. And David told his men, "You're not putting your hand on him. You're not going to disgrace him. We're not going to kill him. That's God's anointed, and we're to leave him alone." And now David is praising these men for going and getting his body and taking him and bringing him back home, if you will, and burying him. So David gives them an approving message. And then I want you to notice their acceptance. David's wanting these men to accept him. Now, as you can see, they're pretty solid in on their loyalty to Saul. I mean, they're loyal to Saul. And David gives them this message and said, "Blessed be ye." And look what he said in verse number 6. "And now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you, and I also will requite you this time." I'm going to repay you for your kindness, in other words, because you've done this thing. He said, "Therefore now let your hands be strengthened and be ye valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah hath appointed me king over them." He said, "Why don't y'all come and join up with us? Your Lord Saul is dead. Your king is dead. Come and join us." I mean, David is doing his best to get everybody together, to unite the group. And these men, he's told them that he wants it. But let me say this to you with this little phrase. The answer is memorable. Why would these men go and do what they did to recover the body of Saul? What was the big deal about that? Take your Bible and look back into 1 Samuel and look into chapter number 11. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter number 11, and I want you to pick up something there with me. 1 Samuel chapter 11. It says, "Then Nahash, the Ammonite, came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead." That's these same people, okay? This is years before all this event has happened. But it says, "The king of the Ammonites came up to the men of Jabesh-Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, 'Make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee.' This king is coming as a conqueror. This king is going to take them out." And they realized that, and they said, "Hey, let's make a peace treaty. Let's make a covenant." And look what it says in verse number 2. "And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, 'On this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel.'" Amen. I mean, what if somebody came in and said, "Look, guys, every one of you men in this church, we would kill y'all and all your families, but here's what we'll do. We'll make a deal with you. You let us poke out your right eye, and tell everybody that you see that the church did this to you. I mean, basically, that's what he's saying. Let's lay the blame on Israel. You tell everybody, if they ever ask you what happened, you tell them that Israel, we'll lay this as a blame on them and a reproach upon all Israel. And look in verse number 3, and the elders of Jabesh said unto him, give us 7 days respite. Give us 7 days, think about this, that we may send messengers to all the coast of Israel. And then if there be no man to save us, we'll come on out to you. But it said, then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul and told the tidings in the ears of the people. And all the people lifted up their voices and wept. And behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field. Now this is before Saul is the king. And Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep? And they told him all the tidings of the men of Jabesh. Listen to this. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul. Somebody say amen right there. I like that. Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard these tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them throughout all the coast of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the people, and they came out with one consent. And when he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. And they said unto the messengers that came, thus shall you say unto the men of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow, by the time that the sun be hot, ye shall have help. Amen? Boy, aren't you glad God can send you some help when it looks bad, when the enemy's against you, when things are looking dark and terrible, and God said, hey, I'm going to send you some help. Saul said, you're going to have some help, boy. And he said, and the messengers came and showed it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Therefore, the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we'll come out unto you, and ye shall do with us all that seemeth good unto you. They said, whatever you say, Saul, if you're going to help us, we'll be there. And so it was on the morrow that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came in the midst of the host in the morning watch and slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it came to pass that they which remained were scattered, so that two of them were not left together. Amen? Hey, God let them have a victory and put the whooping on that crowd. Now, could you not imagine that story kind of hung around with that group and maybe with their kids and maybe their grandkids? I mean, that story had been told. Now, this has been at least 40 years before. Happened 40 years before. But can I tell you, the men of Jabesh Gilead didn't forget what Saul had done for their people. Amen? Aren't you glad God still has some folks that stand up for what's right? Still come to help the people that need help in their day of trouble. I'm telling you, God was able to do that, and he used Saul. And I'm telling you, hey, David said, I want you to know, hallelujah, we appreciate what you did. But I bet them men could say, you don't know what he's done for us. Amen? Can I tell you, Christians ought to be like that. We ought to stand up and say, can I tell you what the Lord's done for me? Thank God, I appreciate what God's done in my life. Amen? I mean an appreciation. An appreciation. All right? I want you to notice one last thing then in this story that we're looking at. I want you to notice an irritation. An irritation. Verse number 8, it said, but Abner, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim and made him king over Gilead, and over the Asherites, and over Jezreel, and over Ephraim, and over Benjamin, and over all Israel. And Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and reigned 2 years. But the house of Judah followed David. What I want you to see in this is David's trying to bring some unity and some get-together in the whole country of Israel. I want to tell you, sometimes when you try to do things and get everything together, the devil's always got somebody causing irritation. And he's always an irritation. I want you to notice, first of all, there is a desire to prevent. I mean, look, if you'll notice the whole story, this story really doesn't have a whole lot to do with Ish-bosheth. It has to do with Abner. But Abner, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and he made him king in that area. I mean, what are you saying? I'm saying he's got a desire to prevent. And what I mean is he's preventing the will of God from happening. Everybody knew that David ought to be king. Everybody was behind the fact that David ought to be king. David's trying to unite the nation of Israel that's come through a horrible event with the king Saul being killed and all of the loss that they've suffered. Everything that's going on. Philistines are bothering them. The Amorites, the Amalekites. I mean, everybody around is giving them trouble. And he's trying to pull the country together. And there's one guy that says, let me just irritate the situation. Amen? Can I tell you, that's about all it takes sometimes is one guy that's got a burr in his saddle and he's going to cause everybody to have some kind of issue. I mean, he's got a desire to prevent some things. I mean, isn't it crazy? Abner. You see that? Abner, the son of Ner. Abner. Abner is actually related to Saul, and I think maybe a cousin, or there's some relationship there between Saul and Abner, whatever it is, but he winds up being the captain of the army of Saul. But he's got his own ideas about how things ought to go. Can I tell you, sometimes even in a church, people's got their idea of how things ought to go. You better listen to God and leave your ideas alone. You better listen to what God's got in mind. You better listen to what the plan. David's plan was, let's unite everybody and get this thing together. And Abner said, nope, don't like it, ain't going to do it, and I want my way. Can you see that? That's what Abner's wanting to do. Abner, it says he took Ish-bosheth, and he brought him over to a place called Mahanaim, and he made him king. Didn't say God did. It said that Abner made him king. Abner got there and he said, boys, bring out the crown. He said, boys, here's what I want y'all to do. Let's have a big ceremony. Let's have a big deal. We're going to make this man king. That wasn't God's plan. But his desire was to prevent the plan and the will and the work of God. Let me tell you what it was. More than anything, it was a decision of pride. Now, if you remember, if that name sounds familiar to you, we run into Abner before. You remember the story where David and one of his men go and they know where all of the King Saul is camped out at? You remember the story where they go in and they take away the cruse of water at his head and they take the spear out of the ground next to him and they leave and they go out and, you know, the guy tells the soldier there with David, say, oh, now's your chance, let's kill him. David said, nope, we're not touching God's anointed. But David does escape, and then when he gets a good distance away, God has put a heavy sleep on the whole encampment of the army of Israel. They're hunting David, they can't find him, and God puts them to sleep, and they got a heavy sleep. All right? And David escapes out of their midst and goes across the way. He's like they're on one hillside, and David's on the other hillside, and David yells at him. And he holds up that spear and that cruse of water. You remember what he says? He says, Abner, you fell asleep at the job, boy. I could have killed the king. And you're set in charge of his protection. And look what happened. He embarrassed Abner. That'd be an embarrassment, wouldn't it? When somebody called you out, called you by name and you know, kind of put you down in front of your whole army and your king and everybody else. I mean, that'd be a little bit of an embarrassment, wouldn't it? Well, now, Abner, he ain't forgot that. He doesn't forget that. He makes a decision from the pride of his. Oh, David thinks he's something now. Well, I'll just show him. And so Abner says, let me just kind of flex a little bit of my muscle. I'll show that little punk I'll show him who he is. I mean, that's what he's thinking. That's the way he's acting. And Abner said, I'll make Ish-bosheth. I'll put him in as king. And we'll see what happens. And so it's a decision of the pride of the heart of Abner. But don't you notice this? All of this wound up as a detriment to the people of Israel. Anybody that comes in and wants to bring division and splitting and hurting and doing all this stuff, buddy, you ain't doing nothing but hurting the people around about you. And if it's building up your little ego and your little bit of pride and your little bit of whoever you think you are, that's what Abner was about. I want to tell you something. Abner hangs around for a while, but you're going to see in a little while that Abner finds death is there waiting for him in a very unusual and a very, inauspicious way. He dies thinking he's talking to a friend. And he gets a knife in the gut and he dies. Man, it ain't going to be pretty when that happens. But what I'm saying is this. You better be careful where your pride's going to get you. And everything you do that you think, boy, it don't matter what they say. I'm going to do what I think. Can I tell you, you'll lose every time by not getting in the will of God. God's got something that you're going to run into somewhere along the line. And it ain't going to be pretty. Now, the rest of this chapter, we're not going to cover it. But it does talk about the animosities between Abner and the soldiers of David. And it goes through, and at the very end of it, Joab, one of David's main soldiers, hit one of his brothers, gets killed by Abner. And like I say, a little bit later, that's going to come back to haunt him in his later days of life. But what I'm telling you tonight is, man, there could have been peace. There could have been unity. There could have been a getting together. There could have been a uniting of the people of Israel. And one guy and his pride and his ego stood in the way of getting things right. I want to tell you something. Don't be that person. Don't ever be that person. Just fall on your face and say, God, whatever your will, and whatever your purpose is, let me get in line with that. Amen. Let me get in line with that. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's sing something tonight.